Hello, everybody. This is the official beginning of the first ever Meet the Pros interview program brought to you by the Banyan Hypnosis Mall. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this interview program. My name is Cal Banyan. I'm broadcasting to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'll be interviewing Dr. Richard Hart, who is broadcasting on this live internet service from New York City. For the next part of this program, I'm going to mute everyone's webcams so that we don't have any background noise. At the end of the interview, we're going to open it up for questions. So if you have any questions during the interview, just please write them down and we'll give you opportunity to ask those questions. So here we go. We've got Dr. Richard Hart with us. I'd like you to say hello and maybe start off with a little bit of how you got into hypnosis and eventually became one of the world famous trainers of the Train to Trainer program. Obviously, you've trained probably more hypnotherapy trainers than anyone else in the world. Welcome aboard. We're glad to hear your story. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Cal, thanks for having me here. Thanks to the Banyan Hypnosis Center as well. Let's start by giving you some background of how I started in this. I was in a printing business for 22 years, doing a variety of different kinds of work. And during that process, what I was able to do is to develop a concept of train-to-trainer. Train-to-trainer means you train other people, obviously, to train others, which I found in doing a lot of the sales work I was doing was most significant in helping people become successful. So I would train others because I couldn't train large sales forces initially with too many people. Now, during this time of being in the printing business, and by the way, prior to that, my background had been on Wall Street. I did a stint on Wall Street. I worked in the direct marketing field. So I kind of bounced around a little bit in my initial jobs. But during my printing stint, what happened was I got involved with a man named Frank Shames, who was my mentor in New York City, and he would allow me to sit in with his clients for hypnosis. And I found it very interesting, and I found a direct relationship between what I was doing in selling and what he was doing with hypnosis. So I started to study with him. I studied with all the old-timers like Harry Ahrens, some of you may know these names, Bryant, all the old-timers that really were stage hypnotists at one point. And they had great talent in entertaining people. They didn't have the clinical background. Some of them did, but most of them didn't have the clinical backgrounds. So what happened is, at this point, I was doing well in the printing business, but I didn't really like it. I was doing well financially, I mean. I didn't really like it that much. So what I did was I decided to sell my situation. I sold my company, actually, in the late 70s and went back to graduate school and got my, I did my master's and got my PhD in psychology, both in clinical and organizational psychology. This at least gave me an opportunity to start to work with people. I kept working in the field of hypnosis. This was kind of interesting. And during this time, I made a suggestion to myself. I said, you know what? I was tired of the business world. I didn't like corporate America. I'm going to stay away. And I did for about 2 years. Then I found out my most interesting patients at that time were people who worked in corporate America. And I started to realize something. Just as I and many of you who are online tonight may realize this, or watching this, or listening, may realize that when we deal with clients in hypnosis, there's usually some kind of sickness or illness or something wrong. Well, believe it or not, in corporate America, we have the same thing. I just started to view corporate America and many, many companies I would end up dealing with as having that same sickness. So I would start to use the same skills that I'd learned. For example, I would start to work with assessment processes. Just like you would do with a client. You do an assessment, you do an intake, and I would find out where the ills of the corporate structure were. And I would then proceed to develop what we call training programs or treatment plans, as you would with a client. I would start to develop those treatment plans for corporations. So first I do the assessment, then I did goal setting, and then I started to develop and realize, I started to develop some programs in the area of stress. For example, I would go into companies and suggest to these people that I could really help them with the stress levels. I think most of you know, or most of you who are online here, realize we all have stress. Well, certainly in corporate America, it's much wider set than that. It's a huge, huge problem. Stress and anger in today's world are incredible. So I started to develop programs dealing with that. And the more programs I did, and by the way, this becomes, Cal, in answer to your question a little bit, this becomes the path of what I've developed as far as teaching people to become consultants has taken. We start out as trainers, we design programs, we become good trainers, we're accepted as trainers, whether it be in the area of sales, whether it be in the area of stress, setting standards or accountability, whatever the programs are, and my program, for example, happens to have about 8 different training modules included in it. And I started to do these things, and more companies then would start to ask me, well, what else do you have? And I would answer them by simply stating, you know, I can do this, I can do that, and I would pretty much be doing a lot of different things and working with their management teams. I started to really design these programs back in the 80s for Motorola, for Estee Lauder, and companies of that type. I would start to develop these kinds of programs where I would implement them, I would do the training, and I would find out amazing things happening from this process. And then I remember doing a work at Motorola, at which point I was doing my doctoral dissertation, which was in the area of persistence. I started to measure persistence. What makes people complete their tasks, for example? How many do they have? And I started to work on that. I designed a test, for example, at that point, which I called the Hart-Kohler Imaginative Suggestibility Test. I started to measure this over time with salespeople, with smokers, with people for weight loss, and the results were unbelievable to me. I started to realize that if I could teach people to persist over time, and I think we all, as hypnotists, for example, in the work that you do, Cal, and everybody else who's listening, you're teaching people to hang in there long enough until they're successful. That's what I started to do. And I realized the whole thing started with doing a proper assessment, which is a skill that one should learn, how to set goals, how to develop action plans, and then how to encourage people or reinforce and encourage people to be successful. And I did this throughout the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and it was fascinating. The results were incredible. I started then to take this back into the corporate world.
Dr. Hart, I just wanted to interject. I thought you were done there. That I've been through your trainer program, and I know that you're very professional in your approach, and I appreciate that quite a deal. And that also the materials you put together are very systematic, and I appreciate that very much. Can you tell me a little bit about what kind of income, hardworking, dedicated, successful corporate consultant could expect to make?
Well, at this point, that's a good question as to earnings. As I told you when I started, the path into being able to do this requires someone becoming a good trainer. So the skills, what are the skills of a good trainer? Obviously, one of the skills has to become a good listener so they understand what the problems are, just as you would work with a client, what, for example, would be something one would do if you're a hypnotherapist working with a client. We certainly have to ask the right questions. We have to also then learn to ask the questions that at least we find out for us what is the pain of the client, so we have to ask those questions, and we go through that process. Now, as far as earnings, I think as trainers, good trainers, earn a lot of money. I would say that somebody should not consider getting into this field unless they have a minimum of a six-figure income that they can think about earning. That should be a starting point. What I teach people who train with me is they should start to think of becoming consultants along the line of getting, my minimum, for example, would be $7,500 for one day's work, 4 days a month on a retainer. So a company would hire me and they'd be paying me $7,500 a month for one day of work. I think that's the way people should start thinking based on the skills that I know hypnotists have. So if you do the math, you'll see how if you see three or four clients or customers, as I put them, small, medium to large size customers, if you see them over a period of time, the money adds up very significantly. And in good years, you can earn well beyond six figures. You can be earning high six figures in some years.
Well, I'm sure that's very good news to a lot of people attending the program. What about other kinds of benefits besides monetary? Are there other benefits to becoming a corporate trainer, a consultant?
There are so many benefits I don't think I can say enough. I've learned this myself over time, Cal, and that First, being your own boss. Many people realize, unless they are their own boss, I know you are in your case, and certainly I've been for many, many years, don't know the feeling of owning your own time. Tremendous freedom. And I think most of us want this freedom. So that's one thing. Second, I think being able to choose who you want to do business with. This is a big difference than holding a 9-to-5 job someplace and having to sign in every day. And I think it's really important. And by the way, many of us, I know many people can only work part-time. Many women, for example, have children, have some good background in doing this, and they can only work part-time. This affords someone to work 20 hours a week if they want and make a lot of money. And I think that's the key area. But the freedom of owning your own time, being your own boss, going on vacation when you want to, these are crucial, crucial elements of being in your own business.
That's all very interesting. I'm curious. I don't think everybody is really cut out for this kind of work. What kind of people tend to be good at or really should become corporate trainers and consultants?
There are three basic ingredients that become important. Number one, I think somebody has to have, one of the things I found out in doing my dissertation on persistence was that people who tend to have vivid imaginations, who are really good at working with their imaginations. I don't mean just using your imagination to go to the beach, for example. I mean having an imagination that allows you to imagine your goals vividly. So when you wake up in the morning, you really have a place to go. You really know what you're going to be doing. And the more vivid, the more the potential for you to persist over time to achieve it. And I think that's the key here. So a good imagination is really required. Second, I certainly believe that the more educated we are, the better. For example, a college education would be important, Cal. I think someone who has good business experience, who's worked in the corporate arena or corporate structure, who understands the nuances, the politics, the methodology. I mean, I've had to learn this the hard way myself going through this, but I started out as a president of my own company in the printing industry, and however, I at some point became a guru to Leonard Lauder of Estee Lauder, for example, working with top management at Estee Lauder and at Motorola. And I found out it's not all that simple, and I had to go back to my hypnosis skills to be able to survive doing this. And that was the most significant thing for me, to utilize all the skills. By the way, if I did a stress management program, I'd call it stress management. I wouldn't call it hypnosis for stress management. If I did sales training, I'd call it sales training. However, all the skills that we've learned in hypnosis, Cal, whatever it be, for relaxation, for persuasion, for suggestibility, all of these skills are key ingredients in being able to do this. So I think, those two traits are really important. I think there's another one that's really important, and the word passion comes to mind. You have to be a self-starter. You have to be somebody who gets up in the morning and goes to work. This is not a lazy person's profession. This is really being sharp, being able to dance on your feet a little bit, being able to work hard, and really earn your money. You really do it, and developing a reputation. One doesn't start out as a major consultant for companies. One starts out as a trainer and ingratiates themselves within the corporate structure. That's how it worked for me.
Oh, that's fascinating. So you start off as a trainer offering classes and you build your reputation and then people want to consult with you or hire you on as a retainer and maybe even customize programs for them. Very fascinating, Richard.
That's how it works. And it takes time, but if someone is patient and is willing to learn what goes into this and how to do it, you see, if you've had the basic training, Cal, in hypnosis, the skills that one learns of how to communicate, just think of people who've studied NLP, neuro-linguistic programming over time, which the NLP just stands for communication. That's all it stands for. And if we learn what goes into proper communication, then I think we have it. Then I think we can apply this to any corporate situation where there's a problem. And most companies have this problem. By the way, I've worked with companies and made a lot of money with companies who have had as few as 10 employees. So one doesn't have to work for General Motors. One can work for a small company.
That I think that makes it less intimidating for people who are thinking about getting into it. I got a question about what do you think about the demand for corporate consultants and trainers? Do you think that's going to improve over time, or what do you think?
Well, what's involved is this. For the last 5 years, there's been a 20% growth per year for corporate consultants. See, there are different kinds of consultants, Cal. One of the main people, like the big companies like Bain or McKinsey, these kind of companies send teams in to do projects. The kind of consultant I'm talking about becomes one who has a free kind of association with the company, especially with the principals of the company, to help them grow their business. So they're reducing stress, they're enhancing sales, they're establishing accountability within the company. You're almost becoming a house shrink, so to speak, if I can use that kind of language. And you become known for that in being able to help people, so that there's a lot of confidentiality involved in working with companies. So I think, you know, if we're going to really understand what goes on in doing this, I think one has to start to understand what kind of confidence levels do they have as an individual. What is your level of experience? You almost have to do your own self-assessment here and see, is this the right thing for me? Do I really want to go out there and expand my thinking, my ideas, my business, my programs? What do I really have to sell? Because if you just do hypnosis, I mean, think about it. Hypnosis in itself, you could work with weight loss in groups or individuals. You could work with smoking. You could work with stress. You could work with a whole slew of different problems. However, the corporate structure offers a different kind of challenge. Now you have larger groups, and by the way, I would suggest very strongly anyone who becomes interested in this kind of work become an expert in working with groups, because very often you're placed before a group and you have to be able to be really dance on your feet with groups and really learn how to become a leader along those lines. And when you go through this year after year, you start to developing these skills. It's absolutely phenomenal and amazing. You'll amaze yourself. I'm still amazed every place that I go into and work in this area, how I pick up new information, just as you learn, just as your clients today, for example, are your own real laboratory. I look at the corporations that I deal with as my laboratory.
Dr. Hart, I'm taking notes here. So what I've got so far, I want to get some tips for how to help someone get started. And so far I've heard you've got to market courses that would be of interest to these corporations, like improving sales and also stress management and this kind of thing. Then that establishes you as an expert, and they might seek you out as a consultant. Number two, I hear you giving the tip that what you need to do is learn how to work with groups, because you're going to find yourself working in front of groups, giving classes and that kind of thing. I'm wondering if you can give us a few more tips like that that our listeners could implement right away on their own.
That's a very good question. I think the kind of thing that becomes involved with, one has to learn to make sales presentations. Or presentations. In other words, in order to get business, one has to become persuasive. So certainly, the more you practice being able to present yourself, you have to learn, the better it's going to be. One should become familiar with how to obviously work on a computer, because one is going to constantly be dealing on a computer with people from all over the world, all over the country anyway. And you know, just as I, when you trained with me, Cal, years ago, the interesting part is, when I started doing the train-to-trainer program for the National Guild, by the way, I did that program. I wrote that program. It took me almost 2 years to write that program for the National Guild. Well, just you might be aware, maybe not, I've trained well over 600 instructors now worldwide since 1990, who in turn have trained well over 10,000 new hypnotherapists throughout the world. My most recent one was kind of interesting in Taiwan. One of my students just trained 38 new people. He's in the middle of the program right now in Taiwan, and next year is bringing it to China and Shanghai. So it's never ending. But I think from a tip standpoint, I think people have to have to sit down with themselves and do a self-assessment. Who am I? What am I all about? Do I have the skills to do this? Do I have the background to do this? Do I have the education to do this? And then they have to start going and marketing themselves. So therefore, I think if one can't do it themselves, they have to hire someone to do this. Just as you've brought people in to do some of your marketing and some of your work on your IT work, for example, on a computer, we have to learn to do this. We have to be able to trust other people and not hold on to this ourselves. We have to delegate so that you have the time yourself to be very creative. So your creativity becomes crucial in being able to go out and talk to people and make contacts. Then you have to join certain organizations, which I did for many years. You join organizations involved, whether it be the Chamber of Commerce, and you do your networking. Or as one of my associates over the years calls it in the Midwest, there's a woman in the Midwest who calls it networking, which is very interesting. Just as a tip, you might, those of you who are listening to this, might want to go on networking.com. You can see there's a woman named Melissa, I forgot her last name, it's an Italian name, I know that. What she has done in the Chicago area, and she has done wonders with regard to being able to understand how to network, how to get clients, how to do this. One has to be willing to do that. Another thing that somebody should be willing to do is to become, I guess there are books you have to read. There's one book that was written, I believe, by Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, From Couch to Corporation, it's called. Very interesting. A psychologist who changed, she was more of a psychoanalyst, changed all her gears and decided to work in the corporate world only. She made a lot of money. I forgot her name. Oh, her name is Iris Martin, I think it is. It's a Wiley book, so those of you who have an interest. I mean, go on and on and on, Cal. I have so many of these things. I want to take while not doing this, but I get so excited when I start talking about this because this has become my life's work. I have a clinical practice in New York, as you know. I have a teaching practice, and I have a corporate practice. And this is the way I make money, which I've done this for many, many years.
You know, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. I tell you, that kind of enthusiasm catches on. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you to write for our e-zine on the Banyan Hypnosis Mall, because I know that kind of information and that kind of enthusiasm is going to come across and help so many. And I can also hear that you've helped so many. You think about all the lives you've touched by training trainers who then have gone out and helped people with hypnosis. All of this is just so fascinating. And I'm reading, so far I've got 7 tips that you've given on how to get started, but it seems like it would be very difficult for someone on their own without some kind of study system or some kind of structure to be able to implement all that. And I understand that you have a system. Can you tell me a little bit about how you put together the heart system and your experience with it, helping other people to do what you do, that you do so well?
Well, it was very interesting how this came about, Cal. But 2 years ago, I was flat on my back. I just had back surgery. And you know, I'm at a point in life where I've kind of done well over the years. And I said to myself, well, how do I want to live the rest of my life? What is it that I have, besides just teaching hypnosis and things that I do, what do I have that I can give back to people? So I had about 3 months where I was laid up. I couldn't work, really, but I had a lot of information. So I delved into all my training programs that I had put together for so many companies and so many people over the years, and I hired someone to work with me, and I put together a 200-page training manual, which I now call the Heart System. And basically what it does and what it puts together is it teaches people how to become trainers, then how to turn that into becoming consultants. So you become really important with anybody that you're dealing with. You become a very, very important person. Most of my training, consulting programs or things that I've worked with companies have lasted about 5-6 years. It's a long time to be on a retainer with some companies like Sanofi, Peppercom Public Relations, Estee Lauder, companies that I mentioned to you before. So I realized that I could give this back by teaching people how to do this. But I knew that if I just did a training, for example, my training is a 4-day training, and the next training is in Boca Raton, February 2 through 6, Boca Raton, Florida. But I decided in doing this that the only way it's really going to work is if I can mentor people for a year. For example, I only allowed 12 people into my program and at any time. And I work with those people through a process similar to what you're doing here with your groups, in the sense that I will work with them via email, phone calls. I teach them how to write proposals. They're not left alone. I hound them, actually. I do my own persistence training with them, and I've actually set up a complete accountability format that I become their mentor, and they become accountable to me on a monthly basis. They report in, and I'm happy to say that several of your graduates have done some very interesting programs recently. I'm not free to mention their name because they're not on tonight, but they're starting to earn some good money doing this. So, and they're fascinated with the idea how can they take something like hypnosis training and then really help a sales force? Well, they didn't know that could happen. And I think that's the key here. The key is how do we take our skills and adapt them to what, where they can use it, whether it be a hospital, whether it be a corporation, whether it be any place. Once you have these skills and you have a good foundation, and I know you're teaching all that, Cal, so it's really significant that you're teaching these skills as well, and I've heard so many good things about what you're doing, that once they have this, they then can step out and really do this. And I think the mentorship is the key here.
You know, I've learned that, and I believe it so much. And as you mentioned, we have mentorship programs through our Banyan Hypnosis Training and Services, Inc. And I think that it's so important that you've got that dimension to your training, because so many people, they get the training, they get enthused, then they go home and they just get lost, or they go out there and they start to try and some little thing doesn't work and they get hung up on it. But with a mentorship program, you can talk to them, you can find out what little thing they needed to do better or do different, and boom, then they're moving again.
It's crucial. In all the hypnosis training I did, you know, some people pick it up but and go on and make a lot of money and are very successful at training others, such as yourself. But there seems to be, that in our profession especially, we have to help people develop their self-confidence. Even with my patients, for example, and all my patients, I know this, that if I help somebody really feel good about themselves, they handle their own problems and they take care of it. So the key in any training has got to be to develop that self-confidence within people. And sometimes it's a tough road, but so what? You know what? Making money today is a tough road. There's no easy way to do this.
You know, I can see that there's a real difference between your program and some of the other so-called how to be a consultant training program out there.
I think there's a major difference. I think what my program offers is this. If I were just in a nutshell, the Heart System offers a turnkey program, meaning these programs have been proven over a 25-year period to the companies that I mentioned. They've been worked over and over and adapted from one company to another, and what's happened is I have all kinds of testimonials. My students can use my testimonials when they're going out and marketing. They don't have to say, well, this is the first time I'm doing it. They can go out and say, this Heart System has proven itself over 25 years. So, in other words, my testimonials can be used by my students. Everybody who trains with me can use my testimonials. They can use me as to help them close a deal if I have to, which I've done on many occasions, and talk to people and talk to their clients for them. So there's a turnkey situation here that happens. Second, I think a most important thing about my program is this. It teaches people who are not used to this how to utilize their imaginations in a vivid, lifelike way so they can persist for the goals they've set up. Now, that may sound like a mouthful, but that's what the Heart System is about. It's about teaching people how, and if you just think about it from a client standpoint, if I teach my clients how to use their imaginations and how to utilize that, they'll persist for longer periods of time in losing weight, reducing stress, whatever their tasks are. I think that's the key here of understanding it. Now, what skills do you need? You need to learn how to do assessment work. You need to know how to set goals. You need to how to teach people to reinforce themselves on a continuous basis. It's fascinating when you get into this and start to learn how to do this. It's a step beyond hypnosis in the sense that you're now using what you've learned, just as you learn arithmetic. Well, how do we use arithmetic to send people to the moon? That's what I think is involved here. As far as the financial outcome, it's night and day. Corporations pay big money for people like us with our skills. We just have to go find the work.
That's right. I think this is the commonality. People and corporations are looking for solutions to problems. And most corporations and most people aren't aware that hypnosis is a viable solution. Good. Can you expand on, is there anything else you want to talk about to expand at this point before we open it up for questions?
Well, I think one thing is important, Cal, to mention that, of course, anybody wanting to train with me, I put them through a very serious interview to make sure that they're right for the program. In other words, I just don't allow anybody into the program. The goal here is to really, you know, when I was lying on my back and thinking about this, I didn't want to just get anybody who wants to take a course here. The program is expensive. It's not inexpensive, as many people may know about this at this point. But that's not the issue. I think training and good training and good mentorship and things that cost money, but it's free in the long haul. Because the amount of money that people have made who've trained with me over the years, it blows my mind sometimes. I have no idea. I just can't imagine them making that kind of money, but they are. They're very, very successful. I won't ask you to tell us how much you earn, Cal, but just as a thought, I mean, it's just wonderful to see this, and I want to give back now. just for your information, I'm writing my second book. My first book, some of you may want to look up on Amazon. It's called What's Keeping Your Customers Up at Night? It's a McGraw-Hill book, and it was published in 2003. My second book has just a working title. It's called 50 and Finished. And I want to point this out here because I think this is important. There's a market that's coming up for all of you as hypnotherapists that you probably haven't thought about. There are going to be 78 million baby boomers coming into a retirement stage. They have lots of problems. Many of them want to remain productive. This is a market that most people don't understand. And people listening may be part of that market, by the way. But these are people that I've chosen for the rest of my life to help. These may be, they may be an AT&T executive, for example, who worked for a company for 25 years who was downsized. This person can't get a job now. This person has the skills to become a trainer and a consultant. This is where I think hypnotherapists can really make some inroads if they specialize and have the skills to do this. So I think that's all I want to add. I just will say that I do require this interview, Cal, as you know, and I guess anybody calling you, you put them in touch with me, and just tell them that Cal sent me. As I said, that's, I think, the easiest way. I'd be happy to talk to anybody interested.
Great. To ask a question, you just push on the Talk Now button and hold it down. It's kind of like a walkie-talkie. And when you see that the button has been released, you can, that's when you know that you can speak. So I'll now have Adam open it up for questions.
Appreciated your talk tonight. Very good. And particularly the comments with regard to the need for mentorship and moving from the trainers into consulting. My question is this. I actually have a consulting company now. I'm a partner in a well-established consulting company, but my interest in hypnosis has me exploring how I can use the resources of my company to use hypnosis within that. In your, I'm wondering, do you have published independently the training courses that you provide to corporations independent of all the important training program and mentorship, per se, for somebody who's actually just starting out? I don't feel that I would need that, but I would love to learn more of the details of the particular programs in which you use hypnosis for corporations.
Well, if I understand your question correctly, are these programs then available, if that's what you're asking? I think they're only available through the trainings that I give. I certainly don't market these programs separately in any way or form.
Does that answer your question, Steve?
Yes, it does. And I look forward to reading your book. I shall certainly pursue that. Anyway, thank you.
Steve, it's good to see you. I just graduated from the class. What was that, about a couple months ago or something like that? It's good to see you. I hope 5-Path and 7-Path are working for you as well as you'd hoped.
Very much so, Cal. Very much so. Going forwards in leaps and bounds now, particularly with the 7-Path, and looking for an office right now to establish my clinical practice.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Who else would like to ask a question of Dr. Richard Hart?
Cal, I noticed that Debbie, I have written something in the text chat that Debbie Y from Massachusetts says, what are some of the main problems that corporations have? Well Debbie, there's so many problems that happen. For example, if I just took an example of some health companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield, for example, I did a great deal of training there. And I found the lower-level clerks really had a problem with their supervisors. They didn't know how. They were so afraid of losing their jobs that they did not know how to deal or communicate with their bosses. So I actually had to role play in the group. We did a lot of role playing to help people start to realize, how do I talk to my boss? So I would play the role of a boss, for example. And I would teach them how to communicate with me and how to reach me on a different level than just anger and stress and all the problems or them playing victim. So that would be one area. And the other areas, which are very, very enticing for me, are anything related to sales. Sales are tremendous. Every company is looking to enhance their business. That's what it's all about, making money for these companies. And many managements are so messed up. I was going to say screwed up, but that's probably better off saying messed up than screwed up. But they're having so many problems trying to communicate with each other that there's a breakdown. Just as what's going on in our federal government today, we see in the corporate level. Apparently, a book was written a long time ago by Tom Peters called, it was about chaos in business. Apparently, chaos is good in business because then nobody loses their job because they don't know who's responsible. Those are the kinds of problems you have to learn to deal with. You also have to learn to deal with, you have to become a good executive coach. When an individual has a problem within the company, you don't just fire them. You have to, you know, realize there's a big investment in this individual. So as a, just as you work with a client, Debbie, you should work with these people. It's fascinating when you start to do this.
Dr. Hart, I presume that your course provides the student with those skills?
Absolutely. We cover it in detail. We spend 4 days together, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, going through this day in and day out. And I've recently changed the format and made this into a train-to-trainer module. So everybody has to get up and they have to do this in front of the group. So we're constantly working how to train others doing it. I really have this innate belief in myself. I guess I believe that if you really know something, you should be able to teach it. So that's the way I've always worked. So it's really important that I experience my students teaching this and seeing what they can do and learning it. And they tape everything, so they take it back. It's not something they just do once and they don't have to go over. It's a work in progress. This whole thing is a work in progress over time.
Beautiful. Thanks for the info. Is there anyone else who'd like to ask a question for Dr. Richard Hart? I see Debbie has a follow-up question.
Debbie's asking, so then do you also get involved in helping them develop new policies? Well, what I like to do, Debbie, is to work with the principals of the company. In many cases, I do, and yes, I do. I help them develop new policies. I brainstorm with them. I set up creative meetings. And in many cases, I run their management meetings, so I act as a facilitator. I don't know all their businesses in depth, but I have enough business experience in my own past to be able to help them at least facilitate and get through and understand that you need an agenda for a meeting, for example. You'd be amazed how many companies start meetings without agendas. Unbelievable to me. I once, this reminds me, on one side of a meeting, I realized this. I couldn't teach it to people. They came in with no agendas continuously, as though they were trying to sabotage me. So I got all the chairs and desks away from, we had a stand-up meeting. So the meeting lasted about 3 minutes because nobody wanted to stand up. But I did that, and everybody got the message then. I said, if we're going to have a meeting, we better have an agenda.
It sounds like you just really get involved with these people and really become a partner in their success.
Yes, I think that's the key, Cal. Just as I do with my patients. There's a partnership. It's not I'm going to solve their problems. It's we're going to solve it together. And I try to work that way with my patients as well. They have a problem. If I really reach their pain points, and that's what my book is about, by the way, how do you reach your client's pain points? If you can get to the pain points and understand what that is, you can find a solution.
Beautiful. Anyone else have a question for Dr. Richard Hart?
Debbie says, this is very enlightened stuff, Dr. Hart. It makes me excited and grateful to know that I had some very good training of this sort of modeling of it at the food bank where I used to work. Terrific, Debbie.
All right. Well, good. I'm so grateful to you, Dr. Hart, for coming and being on here and sharing this information. I know that the kind of work you do is of such professional quality. I'm proud to be associated with it. I want to thank you for being here tonight. I want to thank you for writing for the e-zine that we have online at the Banyan Hypnosis Mall. Is there any last few words you'd like to say to wrap things up?
Well, I guess just if any of you have an opportunity to come to New York, call me. If any of you who are here want to say hello at the next conference in Massachusetts next year, just introduce yourself, say you're on this, and I'll be happy to say hello and chat with you, okay? I really want to share. And those of you who want to get into this, think seriously about what your life is about and how you can give back to people now as well. I think that speaks volumes. And thanks, Cal. Thanks for having me on here. This was fun.
Oh, you're welcome very much. I hope we can do another talk in the future. For more information about Dr. Hart's program, go to www.banyanhypnosismall.com website and then click on courses and then more training for hypnotists. You can also, for those that are online right now, you can just click on that link right there that says go there now, and you can go right to the web page on the website. And if you have any questions that you want to ask us or get the contact information, please feel free to give us a call. The phone number is right there at the bottom of the page. I'll read it out. It is 763-785-3390. Again, our office number is 763-785-3390, and our toll-free number is 1-800-965-3390. Again, that's 1-800-965-3390. And to everybody, good night. Thank you very much, Dr. Harr, for being with us and for all the great work you do. Thank you very much. Good night.